remain standing. I'm going to ask you to also do me a favor. This morning, I want to continue with the prophecy of Daniel, and I really need you guys to help me out this morning because I want this to be crystal clear for you. So if you have your bulletin, I want you to get your bulletin out, open it up, and you're going to need a pen. If you have a pen, there should be a pen right there in front of you. And if not, then just get one from your buddy, okay? All right, here's what I need you to do this morning. I need you, right there where it says Daniel 7 and 8, there's a line that's right under Daniel 7 and 8, and then there's another line. And here's what I want you to do. And trust me, this will help you with the message this morning. The far upper left-hand corner there on that line that I told you about, the second line under Daniel 7, I want you to write kingdom. Kingdom. K-I-N-G-D-O-M. Okay? Make it small. Uh-oh. Okay. Then I want you to go to the right just a little bit, and I want you to put D-A-N period and then 7, okay? And then I want you to go a little bit more to the right and put D-A-N period 2, okay? And then I want you to go a little bit further to the right, if you have any room left, and put D-A-N 8. D-A-N period 8, okay? And and then underneath Daniel, or Dan 7, I want you to write down the word lion. Skip a line and write the word bear underneath it. And then skip another line and write the word leopard. How do you spell leopard? L-E-O-P-A-R-D. Okay, this is all in a vertical column. And then underneath that, I want you to write the word terrible. T-E-R-R-I-B-L-E. Okay? All right, I think we got a good start there, and I hope you got it, and this will help you, and it'll help me as we look at God's prophetic word for us this morning. So having said that, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and open them to Daniel chapter 7, and I want to read a portion of Scripture that we started last week, and I want to just kind of help us to understand that, listen, what's important is that three different visions that God gave Daniel, this man of God, in three visions, he described to him the passage of world history. Now, if God had given Daniel one vision about world history, that would be enough, but God provided three visions, so it's important for us to understand this morning. So in Daniel chapter 7, beginning with verse number 1, we find these words. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. Pause there for a moment. Did anybody have a vision last night while they were lying in their bed? No? Did anybody dream anything? Some of us had some dreams. Okay, all right. He wrote down the substance of his dream. So you did have a vision maybe if you had a dream. But anyway, all right, we won't go there. All right, Daniel chapter 7, verse 2. Daniel said, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven, churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. Now, we said last week, this beast represents the kingdom of Babylon. If you want to, out to the left underneath the column that says kingdom, you can write Babylon there. And we said last week that this picture of it with having its wings torn off and then being given the heart, lifted up, and then being given the heart of a man, it represented King Nebuchadnezzar, who lost his sanity in the midst of his reign over Babylon. And as a result of his pride, God humbled him. He thought he was a beast of the field and all that kind of stuff. But then he looked up and gave glory to God, and God gave him the heart of a man. Okay? All right, and then in verse number 5, it says in Daniel 7, And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. Now, right there where you have written Daniel chapter 7, and you've got the bear listed underneath that column, to the left of that, in that column that says kingdom, I want you to write the words M-E-D, period, P-E-R. M-E-D, period, P-E-R, period. That stands for the Medo-Persian kingdom, okay? Yep, trust me, guys, if you write it down, it'll help, okay? All right, and then if you'll look at verse number 6 of Daniel 7, after that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. Now, if you look at Daniel 7, that column where you've written down the word leopard, to the left of that, underneath kingdom, write the word Greece. G-R-E-E-C-E, not G-R-E-A-S-E, okay? We're talking about a kingdom, not that weird funky stuff that gets under your fingernails and all around your ears and everything, young people. That's not Greece either. It's that stuff that's on the frying pan, okay? All right, okay. All right, hold on, guys. Don't talk like that, okay? All right, we don't want to know anything about that stuff. All right. Okay, now, notice that this beast, we said it represented Greece, and we also talked about the fact that that Alexander the Great was that leper with wings. He's the one who originated Blitzkrieg, lightning warfare, and he defeated the Persian Empire, which was a bear that was raised up on one side. It was the Medes and the Persians, and the Persians and the Medes together defeated three, but the bear was raised up on one side, the Persians overcame the Medes, and then they were attacked by the leopard, which is Alexander the Great. And so now we come to Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. Now, underneath your column that says Daniel 7, you've written the word terrible. That's for the terrible beast. To the left of that, I want you to write down the word Rome in the kingdom column, because this represents Rome. And as we look at this and study this passage this morning, what we're going to find out is that Rome began and Rome will be in the future, okay? And then verse number 8, while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had the eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word this morning. Now help us, O God, to understand and to find truth to apply to our lives as individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for your participation this morning in this. I know that was a little bit different way to open up the sermon, and I know that it required a little bit more of your participation, but trust me, you'll want to go back and look at this again. And by the way, if you have questions, you can go online and you can download these sermons and listen to them again so they can help you understand. But what we're looking at here is we're looking at the progression of world powers. And we see, as we said last week, the first part of the message of Daniel's message for us was a summary, if you will, of world history. And in this summary of world history, we saw that God knows the future. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And history really is His story. In this portion of Scripture, Daniel declares the most comprehensive and detailed prophecy of future events to be found anywhere in the Old Testament. And I think I told you this last week. This was a favorite chapter among scribes who transcribed this chapter of Daniel. Now, Daniel describes the rise of four world empires, and I just want to briefly go over this, and I want you to see the connection between Daniel 7, Daniel 2, and Daniel 8. And this is why it's important for you to write this down. First of all, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4, we read about a lion who was winged. We identified that, and Daniel's identified that as the king of Babylon, as the nation of Babylon. But if you look over in Daniel chapter 2, and I want you to turn to Daniel 2 just a moment. I want you to look because there is another vision that Daniel has that represents the passage of world empires. And this is where I want you to see this morning in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is telling the king the dream that the king had, and he's going to interpret the dream. And so in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 is where we are. He says, "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance." And then look at verse 33. "The head of the statue was made of pure gold." Now I want you to look at verse number 39. Just skip to verse 39 of Daniel 2. Look at verse number 37 of Daniel 2. "You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory." And then look at verse 38. "In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all." And then there's this phrase, "You are that head of gold." So Daniel has a vision of the passage of these world empires. And he sees in Daniel chapter 7, he sees this winged lion, if you will, and it corresponds to the head of gold in Daniel chapter 2. So underneath Daniel 2, I want you to write out beside the lion to the right under Daniel 2, I want you to write head of gold or gold head. That represents the kingdom of Babylon, okay? And then if we look in Daniel chapter 7 once again, we notice in Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, he describes a bear that is raised up on one side, got three ribs in its mouth, and this represents the Medo-Persian Empire. That's why you wrote Mede and Persia underneath that. But if you'll look in Daniel chapter 2 now, in verse 32, we see the head of gold, the statue was made of pure gold, and then we see its chest and arms of silver. And if you'll look again to verse number 39 in Daniel chapter 2, he says, "After you, another kingdom will rise inferior to yours." That kingdom that rises, verse 39, is referenced to the Medo-Persian Empire. It was a group of Medes and it was a group of Persians, and the Persians eclipsed the Medes, and the Persians themselves became dominant. That's why it's pictured as a bear that's raised up on one of its sides. And so you'll want to write down underneath Daniel chapter 2, you'll write chest, arms, silver, or silver, chest, arms, underneath Daniel 2, out beside the bear. Are y'all with me? Did I get it right? All right, good. Now, go back to Daniel chapter 2. We see in this vision that Daniel had, this vision progression of world powers. It says in verse 32, "The head of the statue was made of pure gold," that's Babylon. "Its chest and arms of silver," that's Medo-Persia. And then notice what it says, "Its belly and its thighs of bronze." You'll write down underneath Daniel chapter 2, beside the leopard, to the right of the leopard, you're going to write down the word bronze belly thigh. Bronze belly / thigh. All right. And then you go back and you'll look and you'll see in Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, we see the winged leopard, which we said represents Alexander the Great. He is the great Grecian warrior that conquered the known world of his time. He's the leopard with wings. And if you look in Daniel chapter 2 now, verse 32, what you'll see is, or verse 33, what you'll see is, excuse me, verse 32, "Its belly and thighs of bronze." I think I just said that, didn't I? All right, that represents Greece. Okay, that's under Daniel 2. That's Greece. So it should be in that line. Should have Greece, leopard, and then belly, thigh, bronze. Okay? And then if you look in Daniel chapter 2, you see another part of this statue that represents another kingdom. And it's in verse number 33, and it says, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And what you'll want to do is you'll want to write underneath Daniel chapter 2, iron legs. Iron legs, feet. Okay? You could throw in their clay if you wanted to. And what happens is when you look at Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, you see the progression of these world powers given to him twice. But it's not just there. If you look in Daniel chapter 8, and this is where you come to your Daniel 8 section. If you'll look at Daniel chapter 8, on that line that starts with Babylon, if you'll just draw a straight line underneath 8, and then you'll skip down to the Medo-Persian line. Are y'all there with me? You see what I'm talking about? You got Medo-Persia, and then you've got bear, and then you've got chest arms of silver on the same line. And then what you'll want to do under Daniel 8 is you'll want to write on that same line the word ram. And we see that in Daniel chapter 8, and I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to chapter 8, verse number 5. Or excuse me, verse number 3. Daniel's having another vision now. This is a vision of the rise of world empires. It's the third time now God has said, Daniel, pay attention. This is what's going to happen. And in Daniel chapter 8, in verse number 3, I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns standing beside the canal. And the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but it grew up later. I watched the ram as he charged toward the west and the north and the south, and no animal could stand against him, and none could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased. Now the ram here is representative of the Medo-Persian Empire, the bear, or the chest and arms of silver. That's why you wrote ram down. And notice it has two horns. It's got the horn of the Medes, and it's got the horn of the Persians. But one horn is longer than the other. The horn of the Persians is longer. And this ram is powerful. And then if you'll look in Daniel chapter 8, you'll know, if you keep reading down there, it says in verse number 5, as I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between its eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. And so what you'll want to do now is under Daniel 8, in the line that begins with Greece, leopard, belly, thigh of bronze, underneath Daniel 8, you want to write shaggy goat. Just write down shaggy goat. Shaggy goat with one horn. And notice what it says about him. He came toward the two-horned ram, and it says in verse 7, he attacked the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering his two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against him. The goat knocked him to the ground and trampled on him, and none could rescue the ram from his power. The goat became very great, but at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off, and in its place, four prominent horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven. Now, this shaggy goat in Daniel 8, it represents Greece. It represents Alexander the Great, who came with lightning speed. And yet, as I said last week, Alexander the Great, he couldn't control himself. He died at like 32, 33 years of age. And in place of that one horn, there were four horns that came up, and his kingdom was divided among his four generals. Okay? Now, if you look at Daniel chapter 8 a little bit further, further down, you'll see in verse number 9, it says these words, out of one of them came another horn which started small, but grew in power to the south and to the east, and toward the beautiful land. That phrase, beautiful land, always represents, in the Bible, it represents Jerusalem. Okay? It grew until it reached the host of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry host down to earth, and it trampled on them. It set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host. It took away the daily sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was brought low. And we could read on and on about it, but I want you to write this underneath Daniel 8 on the line that began with Rome. And then it goes to the terrible beast, and then it's the legs and the feet of iron and clay. Then I want you to write under Daniel 8, I want you to write little horn. And you might even write down dash REVROME, which stands for Revived Rome. Okay. Have you guys got that down? Anybody need just a second or two to get with it? Okay, now, if you'll look in Daniel chapter 8, I want you to, because some people say, how do you know these are the kingdoms that you're talking about? How do you know that, Brother Craig? Well, let's look at Daniel chapter 8 just a moment. Verse number 20 of Daniel chapter 8, it says this, the two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. There it is right there, plain as day. This is who they are, the Medes and the Persians. Number verse 21, the shaggy goat is the king of Greece, all right? And the large horn between his eyes is the first king, that's Alexander. And the four horns that replace the one that was broken off represent four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation but will not have the same power. That's his four generals that the nation was, that the kingdom was divided. And then look at verse 23. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong and not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human hands or human power. That represents the Antichrist who is to come and will come out of what many Bible scholars believe to be a revived Roman Empire. Now, many people equate the European Union with kind of a revived Roman Empire. I don't know if that's true or not. The case can also be made that America itself is part of that European or that Roman Empire because of our ancestry and where we came from. We don't have to get into all of that this morning, but what I want you to see this morning is when you look at the prophecy that was given thousands of years before any of this happened, God had already described who would be in power and how it would come about, and who would succeed them. Now, that ought to make you a little bit more comfortable with the fact that we live in such a nutty, crazy world, and we wonder, what in the world is going on? Listen, none of this is taking God by surprise. He is omniscient, he knows all, and he's sovereign over all. And last week, we also said that we saw the glory of God's sovereignty. And if you look in verses 9 through 10 of Daniel chapter 7, we see the Ancient of Days, God himself, who is sitting in judgment. And we get this picture of his purity, his holiness, his righteousness, his glory, his capacity for judgment. And so we saw that last week. But now we come to the message, the heart of the message that I want to get to this morning, and that is this. We see in Daniel chapter 7, that's where we are now, in verses 13 and 14, we see a revelation of the Messiah's authority. Because you see, Daniel not only saw the rise of human empires, but he also saw the rise of the holy empire of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is important for us as the people of God to understand. In Daniel chapter 7, he has a vision of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. There's a contrast here of the kingdoms of men, and then there's a contrast with the kingdom of God and the Messiah who comes. Notice in Daniel's vision, he describes one as the son of man. one like a son of man. This phrase, son of man, refers to Jesus Christ, the incarnated Word of God, the Word made flesh, who made His dwelling among us. This phrase, son of man, is a title that Jesus often spoke of Himself. As a matter of fact, when you look in the New Testament, what you see is there are many titles for Jesus. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Praise God, He's the Good Shepherd. He looks out for us. He lays down His life for the sheep. In the New Testament, we see not only that He is the Good Shepherd, but we also see that Jesus is Lord. He is Christ, Messiah. He is called the bridegroom of the church. But Jesus used this title almost exclusively of Himself, and that is the title Son of Man. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels, it's recorded 80 times that Jesus refers to Himself as the Son of Man. Do you think that Jesus would have referred to Himself as the Son of Man if He was not thinking about the vision that Daniel had? You see, the Son of Man, it speaks of the humanity of Christ. But notice in Daniel's vision also, Daniel saw this as the Son of Man, and he also described the Son of Man as coming to the Ancient of Days with the clouds of heaven. Now, it's interesting because when we see clouds mentioned in the Bible, they always speak of the holy presence of God. And for the Son of Man, the incarnate Word of God, to be coming into the presence of holy God in the clouds, that represents His deity. Why do I say that? Well, because when God revealed Himself on Mount Sinai and gave the law to the children of Israel, it was in the clouds. The clouds of heaven portray the Son of Man as divine. And so Daniel has this picture right here of the Messiah, the one who is to inherit the kingdom, and He is seated at the right hand of power. He comes to the glorious throne, and He's the Son of Man, but He's also coming in the clouds of glory. It's interesting, when Jesus is right there before Caiaphas in the New Testament, and Caiaphas is examining Him. Caiaphas is the high priest. Jesus is on the way to the cross. And Caiaphas says, "Are you the Son of God?" And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, Jesus says, "Thou hast said." Nevertheless, Jesus says, "I say to you hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." This passage tells us in Daniel 7 that Jesus, the Messiah, is both God and man, and he is going to receive the kingdom from God. Look at Daniel chapter 7 just a moment. It says, "And to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." There are four beasts. There are four parts of the statue. There are four kingdoms that rise in world history, but notice there is a fifth kingdom that rises, and that is Jesus Christ. See, here's the good news today. The good news today is that Jesus Christ is going to return to this world. And when He does, He sets up the everlasting kingdom where He rules. Now take your Bible just a minute, and I want you to turn over to Daniel chapter 2 just a moment. Look at this in Daniel chapter 2. If you look in verse 34, we see an interesting picture of the Messiah, and it confirms that Jesus is the one that is spoken of in Daniel 7 as the one who's given all dominion and all authority. Look what it says. This, and I'm reading from the NIV of Daniel chapter 2. It says in verse 34, "While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. In Daniel chapter 2, it tells us that that rock is going to be the final kingdom, that Jesus is going to reign supremely and victoriously over all the world. The kingdoms of men will come and the kingdoms of men will go, but ultimately Jesus Christ will reign supreme. And then in Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, it's talking about the Antichrist here, and it says how he will oppose the Prince of Princes, but then it speaks of the fact that the Prince of Princes destroys the Antichrist. And so the scripture tells us that the King is coming. We can have confidence in knowing that though this world seems to be crazy, God has already written it. He knows how it will unfold. It's a reminder to us that before our very eyes, we are seeing the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And this should be something to encourage us so that we should know what has happened in the past and so that we can view present events with what is happening in the future. But let me tell you something else that's vitally important this morning, and it's important for you to understand. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. And if you have not submitted to Him as your Savior and your Lord, then you better get with the program. Because He is coming again. And when that occurs, that rock will break every institution of man, and that rock will be sovereign over the affairs of men, and only those who are part of the kingdom, His kingdom, will experience the best that life has to offer. So I'm telling you, you need to trust Jesus. But secondly, I want to say this, and we close with this morning. Jesus said to His disciples, you know what? You're going to have trouble in this world. And in John chapter 16, He says in verse 32, behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In Jesus we can have peace. And then He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The prophecy of Daniel is the promise that we have a Savior who has gone and He will return. And when He returns, I am so glad the kingdoms of men, I mean, people try awful hard, but it never works out like it's supposed to. But God has promised that one day Jesus will reign supreme. And the Bible tells us about that time there's going to be great and fantastic rewards for the people of God. Now, I can't get to that today, but I'm going to get to that in the future. But let me just tell you, stay tuned, because you got some wonderful blessings coming your way if you're part of God's kingdom. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your word this morning. I just pray, Lord, that we'll be motivated, Lord, to worship You and know You now. And Lord, I just pray this morning that, Lord, that we might be of good cheer. That we might know that no matter what happens in our world today, Lord, that You've promised good to those who love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's